Look, you only do this 1 hour a week. You're making my brain overtime working today. So Melanie passed away, that performer. I got a brand new pair.
And I really love Melanie.
Me too.
I really love her voice, and I didn't know that she passed away. I just saw that there's like a local band playing a tribute to Woodstock, and kind of the whole tribute is around Melanie. And I, you know, I had seen some of her recent stuff. She was doing stuff like get through Zoom and such. And I just didn't hear about it. I didn't, you know, it was not on the news, I guess. So that's sad. She was awesome.
Good to have you back. By the way, 10th caller, right now we're going to start to answering these phones at 412-922-1020. 10th caller wins a gift certificate to the great folks at Sorgel. So the Stones, to wrap it up, you had a great time in Cleveland.
Got close again, which was good, and saw some friends from elementary school, which was fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, that was wonderful, since I'm from that area. And yeah, it was even a better show than Orlando. And I got one more in California where I'm going to go out and visit my son.
When's that?
Somewhere in July, mid-July. My son works out there for Tesla, so I'm going to head out there and see him. You know, it's hard when your kid lives all the way in the West Coast. And throw in a little the last Stone show. That's probably the last one I'll ever see, I would think.
No, so. Yeah, you've been saying that since the
1989, yeah.
Right. All right, so listen, we got a lot to get to, but the question is, how has the heat affected what gardeners are trying to do?
Oh, well, that's what I want to talk about today, is today, hopefully, a planting window opens. I was looking at the weather, and the front is just west of Columbus, and boy, do we need rain, and it has been tough. I hope you've been watering. We're going to talk about watering a little later, because hopefully we're not going to have to do it. Hopefully we're going to get a decent rain that's not damaging. That's the problem. When you got this kind of heat, this kind of humidity, you know, I mean, we've seen this 100 times. You got cold front hitting this warm weather, and but this does open that planting window. And I have not been planting during this, heat spell. I've been just watering basically to keep things alive. That's all you can do. It's not the same as a good rain. And, you know, yesterday, when I saw this coming, and I've been interested in the peppers that are up at Sorgel's, a young guy I met there called Braden, he's the king of the peppers. And so I decided to stop by and I want to see what was left. And the first one was called Pimenta Bella Purple, and it is 1 million plus Scovilles. Okay. To put that in perspective, what used to be the hottest pepper in the world, the ghost pepper, is 800,000 Scovilles. So this is like amazing. Now, I bought that, but then I was thinking, I'm not going to be able to eat that. It's kind of cool. And then I thought of my friend, Hot Pepper Dave. I texted Hot Pepper Dave, and I said, I got this pepper. You might be interested. And he says, I never heard of it. I'd love it. And he has, what does he have? Trinidad Scorpion Salsa waiting for me when I come drop off the plant, which I might do today. We'll see. Then another cool pepper there I found was called Jess's Purple Peach, and it's only 100,000 Scovilles, so that's not that hot. That's not too bad. And I thought, well, Jess's Purple Peach, I saw our friend Jessica Walliser, who used to host a show with me here, and I saw her yesterday. Believe it or not, her son graduated high school. So I'm sure some of you guys and women out there remember Jess and I working together with.
Ty graduated from high school.
Yeah, he's going to Michigan State, so they had the big party there. And I know that a lot of you remember him working with us at the Giant Eagle gigs that we used to do, where we'd cook and talk gardening. So I thought Jess's Purple Peach would be good for her garden, and oh my gosh, her garden looked just amazing. Just to die for. I mean, you can't imagine it. But there was something in her garden I had never heard of before, and I'm intrigued by it. It's a solar-powered device to deter deer, and it's called Spark Away. And when the deer, it's motion-activated, when they activate this device, it makes a noise that sounds like you're getting tased, but it doesn't. You know, it doesn't have, it's just a noise. It's not like electrifying you. And for the first time that she can remember, she actually has daylilies that are blooming this year. So I'm intrigued with that. And I'm going to research that and see. That might be something to think about, especially in my garden, where that, and I'm sure your garden too, that the deer, you know, and the now the babies are running around. It's crazy. So when we're talking about this planting window with rain coming, hopefully, oh, we need rain so bad, and cooler temperatures, you know, I before we got this heat spell, I put some more bush beans in because, you know, I talked about it before, the deer had gotten in there, and then there was a little rabbit in there, which he's not been around. You know, I've shored up some fencing, and hopefully the rabbits got big enough, can't get through the fencing. So pole beans, bush beans, you know, the nurseries still have lots of nice-looking plants. When I was at Sorgles, they had nice-looking tomatoes and annuals and hanging baskets. And I like to make up my own hanging basket. You know, sometimes I'll buy them, and probably not this early. You know, it's got to be cheaper for me. But, you know, finding some cheap plants and putting them in a hanging basket. And speaking of hanging baskets, this was amazing. You know, I've got this unheated greenhouse. And I, whenever at the end of the season, I put the hanging baskets in there, and they last, you know, probably through Christmas. And I looked there the other day, and I hadn't watered them, hadn't done anything. Some impatiens that had sprouted in there, and they looked pretty good. And so I pulled that hanging basket down and started watering it. And so now that hanging basket is filled with resprouted impatience from last year, just the seeds that dropped there. And so I thought that was really interesting, but still time to plant peppers. Like I'm planting some peppers today. I'm planting more tomatoes today to fill in for where those deer had really, they really nailed one, you know, and I let it sit there and hoped it would come back. And I just don't think it's going to make it. I'm going to have to replace it. So we'll see. The other thing I'm wondering, is anybody out there seeing spotted lanternflies really bad? Because we're not hearing about them. We're not getting a lot of calls. I'm not getting a lot of messages. So if you are having a problem with spotted lanternfly, give us a call. And that's something that the whole show is going to be calls. So it's 866-391-1020. Got a couple people waiting. You guys hang on the line there. We'll get to you as soon as we get back from the break, as soon as I'm done with what I want to talk about here. And I've already seen on my tomato plants some early blight and septoria leaf spot from that cool spring and the rain. And so what that is early in the season when we have those cool rains at night, fungal spores that are on the soil, they splash up onto the bottom of the plant. And when the leaves stay wet for longer than 24 hours, those fungal spores get into the plant. And now, and this is even a little early to see it, we start to see the bottom leaves with kind of a yellowish pattern and some brown spots. And it's something that doesn't kill the plant, but it'll spread quick and it'll work its way up the plant, and it just kind of weakens the plant. And so the only thing you can do is you remove the infected foliage, and then I'm going to start using an organic fungicide. And the one that I use is called Revitalize from Bonide. It's easy to find at any nursery. And it's what we call a biological control. So it will actually attack those fungal spores and do it safely so that, you know, you don't have to worry about some kind of dangerous chemical you're putting on the things that you're eating. And so that's just the start of it. As I said, don't stop. Even if you haven't started a garden yet, there's still time. Our season is so much longer now. When we get this front coming through and things cool off and we get some rain, we'll be back to where we were and get some stuff in the ground. I'm planting peppers where things are coming out. I pulled a little bit of garlic, and so I'm putting some peppers in there. It was in a container. I've got another container that's open, so I actually bought a ghost pepper. I love ghost peppers. I mean, they're super hot, but if you cut them open, you carefully take the seeds and the flesh out, that kind of fleshy white part, and you saute them and just take little pieces, the flavor is phenomenal. You know, you got to take a little bit of pain with it, but I'm very interested in... how Hot Pepper Dave does with the Pimenta Bella Purple from Sorgles. So check out some of that stuff at Sorgles. It's stuff I've never seen before, and it's always fun. It's always fun. The fun part of gardening is just like the, you know, meeting these people that are obsessed with certain things, whether it's hot peppers or, you know, we've got the garlic king of Portview, we've got the garlic king of Millvale. You know, I'm meeting a guy today that has extra tomato plants that I'm going to try and give away to anybody who wants them. That's the, you know, one of the fun things of gardening is meeting these people and talking gardening and figuring out what their obsessions are. Oh, there's my dahlia obsessed Amy who lives a couple miles from me, and she's planting a lot of her dahlias now in fabric pots, which I think is a great idea instead of going into the soil. So keep planting, and I can't wait for this front to roll through, Rob.
All right, let's get a break in here. Doug, come back, take some of these calls. You have a question, you want to talk a little gardening. That's what we're going to do wall to wall, top of the hour, and it is 866-391-1020. Next hour, the Coons Cooking Hour, then Dr. Shufo will be here, but right now it's Doug Oster, DougOster.com, and let's go to Ed. Ed, you're up first on the Organic Gardener on KDKA. Good morning.
Hey, Ed.
Morning. Thanks for taking my call. I think these things are called hostas. They're green and white, but there's bug holes all through them, like it's killing them.
It's probably slugs. That's the favorite food of deer, and it's the favorite food of slugs. And so since you're not seeing any insects or anything during the day, slugs feed at night, and they love hostas. Now, the organic control is a product called Sluggo, and all it is a little pellet, and the slugs will eat it, and it is... safe for you, safe for mammals. Mammals won't eat it. It's overdosing the slug on iron, and it's a great way to deal with them. There is another organic control also you could find at a nursery, and it's called diatomaceous earth. And how it works is it on the microscopic level, the powder has very sharp edges, and so when a slug crawls over it, then it kind of pierces the slug and it kind of just dries out. And the downside on the diatomaceous earth is you got to reapply it during a rain. But that's probably what's after your slugs. And when I'm surprised that they're after it because it's been so dry. And when we start to get this rain, if it does come, you're going to have even more slug damage. So I would reach out and try and find the Sluggo at a nursery. They'll have it. At a good nursery.
Well, I'm old and I'm out of the old organic. We use lime. Would lime work?
No, that's not going to stop them. Actually, contractors sand something sharp like sand. They don't like to crawl on something that's sharp. And so sometimes people throw down eggshells. Sometimes they throw down a real coarse sand. But as I said, at the nursery, you'll be able to find the Sluggo. That'll do the trick for you.
All right, here's Bob in Verona. Bob?
Hi, Doug. I bought some garden soil at a local hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
And it had, looked like the bag, it was a little bit ripped in there with tape on it. And it smelled like, it had like an asphalt smell.
Mm.
And I poured one bag in my raised bed, and it... now I regret that I poured it in there. I took the rest of it back, got my money back, but I planted grape tomatoes in there, and now I'm afraid I won't be able to eat those things.
There shouldn't be any. There shouldn't be anything in there that could negatively affect. But that's weird to have that smell. It might have fallen. You know, the bag fell down into something, into a chemical or something. At this point, or this early in the season, how big are those grape tomatoes? Could they be moved, or are they too big?
They're probably, you know, they're green, little and green. They're about maybe a quarter inch long.
How big are the plants, though?
They're probably 2 feet high, 3 feet high, something like that.
Yeah, you know, if you were really worried about it, what I would do is I would get some good compost this time. I would lift those out of the raised bed, do a little excavating, put the good compost in, especially when we have, you know, a cloudy day, rainy day. Put those plants back into where they were at in that raised bed, and that you'll feel so much better. That worries me about that smell. That's not a smell that should come out of soil, and the fact that the bag was open, I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah, there were like little slits in it and tape on it. And I took it back. When I took it back, I took it in. I talked to the manager, and I said, they were just going to put it back on the pile. And I said, you know, because I had put them aside when I brought it back. And so she gave me my money back, but I said, I went, one of the bags that was still there, you know, a new bag, and it smelled the same way.
Yeah, that's weird. Go to a garden center. Go to a nursery. And, you know, they'll have four or five different choices for you that are bagged. And look for one that has that OMRI, OMRI. That means that means it's organic, and you'll be, you know, you could buy a big bag for, you know, $15.
Should I take all that other soil out of that?
I would excavate what you think is in there, you know, one bag's worth out.
Yeah.
You know, once you buy the bag, you could actually set those plants, you know, the new plants, into that good stuff while you were excavating, and then put the good stuff in and put the tomatoes back in there. Make sure they got lots of water and mulch, and they'll come back and fertilize them.
Okay.
All right, good luck.
All right, tell them what's coming up.
Well, we're going to take a call from my friend Steve here in a minute, and we want to hear from you. You got any problems? And I want to hear from anybody that's having problems with a spotted lanternfly, because I had them really bad last year. I am not seeing them. And I don't know if I'm an anomaly, but I'm not getting any questions about them. So it's 866-391-1020. Give us a call. And real quick, my sold-out trip to the National Parks has two seats open. If you want to come travel with me in August, we're going to have fun. Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, Jackson Hole, the whole day in Jackson Hole.
Should be a good time at the Grand Canyon.
Hello.
We'll be back. All right, here we go. It's Steve in Philadelphia. But before we get to Steve, 10th caller wins a gift certificate to Janoski's at 412-922-1020. Hey, Steve.
Hi there, Doug.
Hey, Steve. How are things going in Philly? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Well, some people consider that a blessing. Anyway, I've got a question about bees. We've got a good garden down here. I've got everything in it from astilbe to daisies, canya lilies, calla lilies. No problem with things blooming. And this year, for the first time, we have not seen one bee. I mean, no honeybees, no bumblebees, no mason bees, nothing. And I'm even checking out with other gardens nearby. Nothing near what they've seen in the past. But we've been totally devoid of bees, and I'm just wondering if you've heard anything.
Well, in general, pollinators are in decline. And our friend Steve Rapaski from Bee Control and Meadow Sweet Apiaries, who hosted the show last week, was, you know, saying the same sort of thing, that we're not seeing as many. And all we can do is, in your own garden, you know, don't use chemical pesticides, herbicides, that sort of thing, and try and grow as many things as you can to attract pollinators. And then also try to change the habitat of the garden where you've got these corners to do everything you can to attract pollinators. It would be nice in your area if somebody would put in a honeybee hive because they'll go 2 miles, 3 miles, I think, to forage.
Yeah, we've believe it or not, there have been a few in the area, but what's happening is people are complaining. So the people who used to have the hives have started removing them. Now this is Center City where I'm calling from, so it's a little bit difficult to hide a hive. But
what's the complaint?
People blame them if they get stung by a yellow jacket or they're worried about their kids. It's all of the just standard complaints, which are not valid. But
I mean, is there a permit that you can get in Center City to have bees? There should be. I mean, there are here in Pittsburgh where you can get a permit to have a beehive.
Well, the one or two people that I knew that used to have them just didn't want to deal any longer with neighbors.
I get it.
They have the right. They would explain about swarms. They would explain about yellow jackets. But anyway, but again, I haven't seen, my concern here was not seeing any mason bees or anything else. So I guess it's nationwide, so we'll keep at it.
Yeah, do everything you can in your own properties, and you know, encourage your fellow gardeners to do the same thing. You know, putting up some bee houses and that sort of thing. Like I said, leaving some corners wild, growing as many different types of flowers as you can to bring in the pollinators. These are all things that will help.
I can say I do have three bee houses up, and they actually, some of them, I see the larva on the inside where the holes have been plugged.
Right.
So that's a good sign, but I don't know if it's left over from last year or what. But, well, we're doing what we can.
All right, Steve, great to hear from you.
Now, why is it that I have more bees this year than I've ever had? The clover? What's going on?
You know, it's just every microclimate, it's different. You know, for me, I've got 4 acres and it's all, you know, organic, and so I get bees like crazy. But imagine being downtown, like, you know, or Center City, Philadelphia.
Right.
You know, you might not have all those opportunities for the.
So it's still on the decline, honeybees?
Not just honeybees, but on many of our native pollinators too, in general, are in decline.
Wow. All right, let's go right back to work. Shirley, West Mifflin, lanternflies on KDKA's Organic Gardener.
Okay, let's hear about lanternflies.
Yes, hi there. I would say for the past 2 weeks, I've been on a mission of swatting baby lanternflies on my back deck. It's morning, noon, evening.
Okay,
and
you've got them bad then again. And are they still black or have they turned orange yet?
Most of them were black, and yesterday I had two that had turned, that show up red.
Okay.
So I guess that's the next stage. But we didn't have any of the bugs last year, or very, very few around here. And I thought, I'm the only one here swatting bugs, and my neighbors started doing it a little yesterday.
Right.
They found them, but, you know, it's a waiting game, I guess. I don't know where they're coming from.
It's very strange because, you know, I was infested last year, and I've only seen one nymph so far. And then, just like you, you did not have them last year, and now you're out there every day. There is, if it really gets bad, there is an organic spray that you can use called horticultural oil that will just cover them and kill them. But as long as you can kill as many as you can just by swatting.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah, we purchased some spray, and I'm not saying it was an organic, and it really didn't seem to do anything to them. Sometimes I'd find a few dead in the morning, but not like it was overpowering them. I was doing better by hand. So.
All right, Shirley, we'll keep it up. That's
we have our share. Hopefully they'll go away.
I think they will. You know, when we look at the, when they had them really bad east of us, they were like, just like this, they were infested, and then the next year not as bad, and the third year not a big deal. Actually, visiting with Jessica's father yesterday, they're from the Reading area, and they had them just terrible, but now he says you'll see one or two here or there. So eventually this is going to calm down, but you keep after them, though, because the more of those you kill, the less will be for next year.
The less you'll see. So, yeah, I'll be out on my back deck.
Okay. You and your neighbors, too. Thanks so much for the call. Thanks for letting us know.
All right, 866-391-1020. We have some available lines if you want to get in here and talk to Doug about 2 minutes before our next break.
Well, there are some cool things out there. Opened at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, David Rogers' Big Bugs and Pollinators exhibit is out there, and I can't wait to get out there to see this. I've seen pictures of it. This would be so fun for kids. They have these giant bugs, you know, all over the garden. And if you haven't been out to the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, it's really cool, really good place. And then at my website at DougOster.com, you can take a tour of the summer flower show at Phipps. It's called Under the Sea. You know, I'm so lucky to be doing this TV show for KDKA-CBS streaming because I can take a lot of time to do a piece. It doesn't have to be, it's not restricted like, you know, on broadcast. And so I was able to spend a good, you know, put together a good 7-minute, maybe longer tour of that show and then talk to the designer about it and what she was thinking about, what she, you know, she'd been designing these shows for a decade at least. And so through that time, she's just cataloging this whole list of different plants. And so many of the plants have either look like something from the sea or they have a name from something from the sea. It's really cool. Do we have time for another call, Rob, or do we want to wait until the break?
Let's get a break in. We'll come
right
back.
That sounds good.
We can wrap up the hour and give everybody an opportunity to talk to Doug. Next hour, the Coons Cooking Hour, Mr. Dentici and I. And then, of course, Dr. Bridget Schufo. All about getting that weight off and staying happy and healthy and keeping it off. Accurate Solutions. And then the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Much more to come until 1 o'clock today on KDKA. Good morning. Frank Dentici, cooking in the kitchen. Coons Cooking Hour within 15 minutes after Rob Taylor checks the news, top of the hour. Hey, Paul, in the South Hills, you're on KDKA. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm on two of your topics. If I get the Captain Jack, how do you apply it?
Okay, so what is the pest that you're trying to deal with?
These are the spotted lanternfly nymphs. And what I've been doing, I didn't like stepping on them because I didn't want them to stay in the grooves of my shoes. So I started kind of swatting them, and they see you coming.
Yeah.
They, you know, they leap. I use a Kleenex. Cheap Kleenex. I can go to some other brand. And I slowly hover over them, and they don't see that coming. And I have gotten probably 500 on myself in the past 3 weeks.
So you have them bad.
I have them bad, and they aren't on the plants. They're climbing brick walls. They're in my driveway.
Mm.
That makes no sense. And lately they've been going into my fall anemone leaves. So I'm wondering if that's where I should put the Captain Jack.
So Captain Jack's isn't the right thing for them because they're a sucking insect. Captain Jack's is for the chewing insects. So for this pest, we want to coat them with something that's going to stop them, and that's why we use horticultural oil on them.
Horticultural oil, okay.
And you have to get it on them. That's the thing, and it has to be kind of a thick layer on them. And it's not instant death. Once you coat them, then they can't breathe. Transpire actually
right.
is the word.
Okay.
And then they'll be done.
Okay. Yeah. Last year I had none, and they were all over on the other side of Mount Lebanon on the Dormont border.
Mm-hmm.
At our church, there were millions. Once they were adults, they were everywhere, and I stomped on a lot of them.
Yeah.
The other thing is the bees. My property has always had a nest of the large bumblebees behind a wall, underground, and they're not there this year. And the past 2 or 3 years, I think just two, there had seemed to be some ground moles. Some people who did some treatment said, you have ground moles, and I didn't treat for that. Maybe I should. But anyway.
Well, first off, don't worry about the moles. They're actually a good thing as long as you.
Well, that's what I thought. But then I found out that the holes in my lawn were from this bee nest. There were two holes, and I stomped on one and got stung. And they are the tiniest thing. They're smaller than the part of your fingernail you clip off. That's how tiny they are. Mm. So you don't even see them when they're flying around. But I had been mowing with an electric mower, and as of last summer, a neighbor offered. He has a little business, and he comes with the power mower, gas mower, And I thought maybe that's why I'm not seeing them this year. Maybe that's too annoying. Or
yeah, that's a different type of bee. You're doing everything right. You know, let's get those spotted lanternflies killed.
Melissa, you're on KDK with Doug. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Doug. Thanks for taking my call. So I've noticed, I don't know if it's a wasp or a hornet building nests on my back deck on, like, throw pillows, on the furniture. And I literally watched it. I watched it go in. It's like a cocoon type of nest, and some of them broke, and it's like a hard dirt. It crumbles like a dirt.
That's a mud dauber. That's a wasp that'll sting you. So, yeah, you don't want it there. You know, a wasp like that, it serves a purpose in nature, but you don't want a mud dauber nest on your deck or you know, on a pillow for sure.
On throw pillows. So, how would you recommend taking care of that?
You're just going to have to be careful. You know, when things cool off a little bit, again, there's some organic sprays that you could use to put into that mud dauber nest, you know, because there's a hole to come in and out. But just be very careful because they can bite and sting.
All right, let's take one more call before we say goodbye to Doug for this week. Let's go to Patty in Murraysville. Hey, Patty.
Hey, Patty.
Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hey, I just wanted to mention something that I discovered. When you're trying to squish a lanternfly, if you go from behind or the side, they'll fly away right before you put your foot on them. If you come from the front, they have a hard time seeing you.
That's exactly right. That's a good tip. I appreciate it, too. Now, do you have them bad?
I did last year, but I haven't seen anything this year.
Yeah, that's the same thing with me. So it's awful weird.
That's how my dad used to approach me with a belt.
From the front.
From the front.
Okay.
Turn around. All right, listen, time for us to get out of here, but time for you to wrap it up.
I'll be answering questions after the show if you are too shy to call or didn't get through. I got most of the callers done today. And are we ready to go, Rob, or we got a minute?
Yeah, I got a little minute.
All right.
Promote your trip.
Okay, yeah. I am going to take people to the national parks. Like I said, it was sold out. I had a couple cancellations. I got two seats left. Really fun trip. You know, I've never been out west. And like I said, we have one free day in Jackson Hole, but Yellowstone and Old Faithful and Crazy Horse Memorial, Mount Rushmore. It's going to be a lot of fun. Grand Canyon. I'd love for you to come with me. And actually, I have a second trip, too, in November. To Iceland.
Were you ever like, you're turning into like Johnny Carson at the end of his career. I'm here 2 days. I'm here one day.
Hey, I've only missed, what, 3 shows all year. That's
what I've missed in the last 20.
Yeah, I know.
I'm an idiot.
Hey, part of what I do, I love to travel and I love to take people with me. So just go to DougOster.com. All that information is there. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow. And get out there and do some planting as soon as this rain comes. Can't wait for the rain.
Go fix your pool filter.
Yeah, that's my job for the day.
Well, you'll be like throwing things and you'll be...
No. And I've got this under control, I think.
Really?
I think I know what I'm doing. my wife was at the pool store and she made a video of the guy telling me exactly what to do.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Stay with us because Frank's cooking up something good next in the kitchen. Coon's cooking. Mr. Taylor's ready, willing, and moments away with that news at 8. Good morning.